You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Four Agreements. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on the Four Agreements, a Toltec wisdom book by Don Miguel Ruiz. As always, we will start with a quote. You need a very strong will in order to adopt the Four Agreements. But if you can begin to live your life with these agreements, the transformation in your life will be amazing. You will see the drama of hell disappear right before your eyes. Instead of living in a dream of hell, you will be creating a new dream, your personal dream of heaven. End quote. That is Don Miguel Ruiz from The Four Agreements. The Four Agreements, love them. They are the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. The second agreement, don't take anything personally. The third agreement, don't make assumptions. The fourth agreement, always do your best. This is a really simple, really cool, really powerful book. One of the earlier books I read on my own journey, and one I think you'll enjoy as well. Let's take a peek at some of the big ideas Don Miguel Ruiz introduces us to in this book of Toltec wisdom, shall we? We will start with the first big idea, the domestication of humans. Quote, children are domesticated the same way that we domesticate a dog, a cat, or any other animal. In order to teach a dog, we punish the dog and we give it rewards. We train our children, whom we love so much, the same way that we train any domesticated animal, with a system of punishment and reward. We are told, you're a good boy, or you're a good girl, when we do what mom and dad want us to do. When we don't, we are a bad girl or a bad boy. End quote. The domestication process. In Thus Spoke Zarathustra, you can see the notes on that, Nietzsche tells us that, quote, society tames the wolf into a dog, and man is the most domesticated animal of all. End quote. And Carlos Castaneda, another great teacher who introduces us to the ancient Toltec wisdom, you can see the notes on the Wheel of Time, he tells us that the purpose of the warrior, who is the ideal person in the Toltec tradition, is to transcend social conditioning as we discover our personal power and learn to live with clear intent and impeccability. The Four Agreements are pretty much an awesome guide on how to do exactly that. The next big idea is the first agreement, be impeccable with your word. Quote, the first agreement is the most important one and also the most difficult one to honor. It is so important that with just this first agreement, you will be able to transcend to the level of existence I call heaven on earth. The first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. It sounds very simple, but it is very, very powerful. End quote. Being impeccable with our word. This is big. First, let's look at how Ruiz defines the word impeccability. He says, quote, impeccability means without sin. Impeccable comes from the Latin peccatus, which means sin. The im in impeccable means without. So impeccable means without sin. Religions talk about sin and sinners, but let's understand what it really means to sin. A sin is anything that you do which goes against yourself. Everything you feel or believe or say that goes against yourself is a sin. You go against yourself when you judge or blame yourself for anything. Being without sin is exactly the opposite. Being impeccable is not going against yourself. When you are impeccable, you take responsibility for your actions, but you do not judge or blame yourself. End quote. Brilliant. So when we're impeccable, we don't use our word against ourselves, indulging in guilt or shame. We also don't use our word against others, in blaming, criticizing, or gossiping. We also honor our commitments and only make commitments we intend to follow through on. How are you doing on those fronts? In The Diamond Cutter, you can see the notes on that, Geshe Michael Roach talks about the fact that in Tibet, they don't even have a word for guilt. As he says, quote, there's no word in Tibetan for guilty. The closest thing is intelligent regret that decides to do things differently. End quote. Geshe Roach also describes blame, criticism, complaining, etc. as useless talk. It depletes us of energy and wires our brains in ways we don't want to be wired. So let's get impeccable with our word and stop all blame and criticism of ourselves and others. And while we're at it, let's get rid of all the complaining and gossip as well. Now, let's address being impeccable with our word as it relates to commitments. Do you honor your commitments? When you say you're going to do something, do you really intend to follow through? And then do you? Or do you kind of say yes to every request because you think you need to and you figure you can always flake later? We've all said yes too often when a polite no would have been more appropriate. But let's practice honoring our word and the commitments we make, shall we? And just as a little side note, while we're on the subject of sin, did you know that according to Wikipedia, quote, in the biblical Hebrew, the generic word for sin is het. It means to err, to miss the mark. It does not mean to do evil. End quote. Paulo Coelho, and you can see the notes on him, talks about the fact that to sin, from this perspective, is kind of like an archer missing the mark, missing the bullseye. It's a cool way to think about it, huh? And that leads us to the next big idea, the second agreement. Don't take anything personally. Quote, whatever happens around you, don't take it personally. If I see you on the street and say, hey, you are so stupid, without knowing you, it's not about you, it's about me. If you take it personally, then perhaps you believe you are stupid. Maybe you think to yourself, how does he know? Is he clairvoyant? Or can everybody see how stupid I am? End quote. This is another theme that all the great teachers come back to again and again and again and again. How about some Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, and Deepak Chopra? Marcus Aurelius, see the notes on Meditations, reminds us not to worry about the opinion of other people, especially those who don't even have a good opinion of themselves. He tells us, quote, the approval of such men who do not even stand well in their own eyes has no value for him, end quote. And Seneca, see notes on Letters from a Stoic, reminds us that the world is so inconsistent in its opinions, we should just be done with it. He says, quote, away with the world's opinion of you. It's always unsettled and divided, end quote. While Irvin Seal, see the notes on Take Off from Within, he reminds us, quote, there is one recurring, persistent, perennial, and dogging personal problem, which, more than any other, steals the force and peace of people and ruins projects and enterprises and careers. It is the habit of feeling hurt because of what others do or do not do and what they say or do not say. End quote. Deepak Chopra, you can see the notes on the spontaneous fulfillment of desire, has a mantra I've said thousands of times. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. I'm totally independent of the good or bad opinion of others. End quote. Why is this such a big deal? Because, as Don Miguel Ruiz says, nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves, end quote. Let's think about it. Let's imagine interacting with the same person in two different situations. First, the person had an awesome day. They got a great night of sleep, won the lottery, and every other thing that could have possibly gone well for them unfolded. They're feeling great. How do you think they're going to treat us? Probably pretty well, right? Now, same person. This time, they got a really bad night of sleep, lost their job, got in a car accident, didn't eat all day long, and every other annoying thing that could have happened, happened. Not in such a good mood. How do you think they're going to treat us now? Probably nowhere near as well as when they're rested, happy, and all that jazz, right? Now, the important thing to note here is that we were exactly the same in both situations. But if we base our opinions of ourselves on how someone else treats us, we're in trouble. Again, as Ruiz says, quote, nothing other people do is because of you. It is because of themselves, end quote. That leads us to the next big idea, the third agreement, don't make assumptions. Quote, we have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe they are the truth. We could swear they are real. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. That is why when we make assumptions, we're asking for problems. When we make an assumption, we misunderstand, we take it personally, and we end up creating a whole big drama for nothing. End quote. Well, there you go. The third agreement. Don't make assumptions. How about you? Are you making any assumptions about what someone's thinking or doing? Can you see how the drama factor can go down dramatically? Pun intended. If we just have the courage to ask what's up. As Ruiz says, quote, the way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions. Make sure the communication is clear. If you don't understand, ask. Have the courage to ask questions until you are as clear as you can be. End quote. So, let's identify where we're making some assumptions and have the courage to ask them what's up and get out of the drama of Assumptionville, shall we? Awesome. That leads us to the next big idea, the fourth agreement, always do your best. Quote, there is just one more agreement, but it's the one that allows the other three to become deeply ingrained habits. The fourth agreement is about the action of the first three, always do your best, end quote. And Ruiz continues, under any circumstance, always do your best, no more and no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality and other times it will not be as good. End quote. Sweet. We need to always do our best if we want to bring the other three agreements alive. And of course, sometimes we'll be totally on. And our best will be rock star rockin'. In other times, we might be a little tired, and our best won't be quite as stellar. It's all good. Let's take a quick look at some other big ideas related to being our best. From the Greek ideal of arete, to Tony Robbins' kanai, to the Japanese concept of kaizen. We'll start with arete. It's one of my favorite words and ideals. In fact, the site I had before Philosopher's Notes and Zod's was called Think Arete. As I've mentioned in other notes, in classic Greece, peeps like Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle said that if we want to live with happiness, we need to live with arete, a word that translates as excellence or virtue, but has a deeper meaning, something closer to striving to do your best moment to moment to moment. Think about it. When what you're doing is less than what you're capable of doing, and I'm not talking about what you should be doing here, but what your highest self knows you're capable of, when you do that, there's a gap. And in that gap is where depression and anxiety and disillusionment hang out. When we close that gap by doing our best, there's no room for the angst, negative stuff, and all that. And we feel really good. Yeah? Again, our best will vary, but let's think arete. And Tony Robbins has an awesome concept he calls kanai. Capital C, capital A, capital N, capital I. Kanai. Constant and never-ending improvement. When we show up committing to do our best and practice kanai, we're on an incredible upward trend where our best keeps on getting better. And last time I checked, that's a good thing. And finally, have you ever heard of kaizen? Marcy Shymoff, a lot of authors talk about it, but Marcy Shymoff describes it this way in her great book, Happy for No Reason. See the notes on that. She says, quote, to make the quickest progress, you don't have to take huge leaps. You just have to take baby steps and keep on taking them. In Japan, they call this approach kaizen, which literally translates as continual improvement. Using kaizen, great and lasting success is achieved through small, consistent steps. It turns out slow and steady is the best way to overcome your resistance to change. The next big idea is the first step toward freedom. Quote, the first step toward personal freedom is awareness. We need to be aware that we are not free in order to be free. We need to be aware of what the problem is in order to solve the problem. End quote. I love that. How can you change something you don't know needs changing? As Seneca says, and you can see the notes on Letters from a Stoic, he says, the worse a person is, the less he feels it. And Vernon Howard, you can see the notes on The Power of Your Supermind, he tells us, quote, encourage yourself by remembering that any detection of negativity within you is a positive act, not a negative one. Awareness of your weakness and confusion makes you strong because conscious awareness is the bright light that destroys the darkness of negativity. Honest self-observation dissolves pains and pressures that formerly did their dreadful work in the darkness of unawareness. This is so important that I urge you to memorize and reflect upon the following summary. Detection of inner negativity is not a negative act, but a courageously positive act that makes you a new person. End quote. So let's bring some awareness to our quest for personal freedom. In the PDF, I have some space where you can write down 5 things. These are the top 5 things I know need some work from me. Let's bring awareness. What are the top 5 things you can work on in your life? You may want to press pause and think about that for a moment. We shall be here when you press play. All right, did you get the top 5? Well done. How about the next big idea? We stop ourselves. Quote, who stops us from being free? We blame the government, we blame the weather, we blame our parents, we blame religion, we blame God. Who really stops us from being free? We stop ourselves. End quote. Reminds me of Joseph Campbell. You can see the notes on The Power of Myth. He says, quote, Freud tells us to blame our parents for all the shortcomings of our life. Marx tells us to blame the upper class of our society. But the only one to blame is oneself. End quote. So let's get out of our own way and rock it, shall we? That brings us to the next big idea, breaking domestication step by step. Quote, there are many strong beliefs in the mind that can make this process look hopeless. This is why you need to go step by step and be patient with yourself, because this is a slow process. The way you are living now is the result of many years of domestication. You cannot expect to break the domestication in one day. End quote. Patience. I've heard it's a virtue. I don't know about you, but I often want things to change kind of quickly. Realizing that all things, especially great things, tend to take time, I've been blissfully developing my patience. Here are a couple of my favorite thoughts on the matter. Epictetus teaches us, quote, no great thing is created suddenly, any more than a bunch of grapes or a fig. If you tell me that you desire a fig, I answer you that there must be time. Let it first blossom, then bear fruit, then ripen. End quote. And James Arthur Ray, you can see the notes on Harmonic Wealth. He reminds us, quote, everything has a gestation period, a time period that must pass before things will come into form. If you plant a carrot seed, it takes about 7 weeks for the sprout to make its above dirt entrance. Bamboo, which can grow up to 13 feet in as little as 1 week, takes up to 7 years to break through the surface of the ground. But for 7 long years, it looks like absolutely nothing's happening. Now that takes some commitment. End quote. How about you? Feeling a little impatient about your growth or anything else in your life? Let's chillax and just take it step by step and enjoy the journey. And here's the final big idea. Repetition makes the master. Quote, all of these old agreements which rule our dream of life are the result of repeating them over and over again. Therefore, to adopt the 4 agreements, you need to put repetition into action. Practicing the new agreements in your life is how your best becomes better. Repetition makes the master. End quote. Repetition, repetition, repetition. It's the stuff of mastery. As Aristotle tells us, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. So let's remember to practice these new agreements again and again and again, and watch our best get better and better and better. That is a quick look at the 4 agreements. I will share some other notes I think you'll dig if you like this one, give you a little blurb on Don Miguel Ruiz, and share a handful of quotes from the sidebar now. If you like this, I think you'll also enjoy The Philosopher's Notes on the Wheel of Time by Carlos Castaneda. Both he and Ruiz are Toltec wisdom gurus, so I think you'll dig that. I think you'll also enjoy the notes on Harmonic Wealth, Letters from a Stoic, Meditations, Tony Robbins, and Paulo Coelho. How about a little bit about the author of the 4 Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz? Don Miguel Ruiz was born into a family of healers and raised in rural Mexico by a curandera, a healer, mother, and a nahual, a shaman grandfather. The family anticipated Don Miguel would embrace their centuries-old legacy of healing and teaching, and as a Nahual, carry forward the esoteric Toltec knowledge. Instead, distracted by modern life, Don Miguel chose to attend medical school and later teach and practice as a surgeon. Don Miguel began teaching in the United States with his mother, the curandera, Sarita, in 1987, and over the following years distilled the wisdom that became the Four Agreements. That is adapted from his site, where you can learn more about Don Miguel Ruiz and his son, Don Jose Ruiz, at miguelruiz.com. How about some quotes? If you want to live a life of joy and fulfillment, you have to find the courage to break those agreements that are fear-based and claim your personal power. Nobody abuses us more than we abuse ourselves. When you transform your whole dream, magic just happens in your life. What you need comes to you easily because spirit moves freely through you. This is the mastery of intent, the mastery of spirit, the mastery of love, the mastery of gratitude, and the mastery of life. This is the goal of the Toltec. This is the path to personal freedom. Write this agreement on paper and put it on your refrigerator to remind you all the time. Don't take anything personally. When you make it a strong habit not to take anything personally, you avoid many upsets in your life. Your anger, jealousy, and envy will disappear, and even your sadness will simply disappear if you don't take things personally. And finally, death is not the biggest fear we have. Our biggest fear is taking the risk to be alive. The risk to be alive and express what we really are. End quote. There you go. That's a quick look at The Four Agreements, a Toltec wisdom book by Don Miguel Ruiz. I really hope you enjoyed it and excited to share more with you soon. Have an awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.